This is ESPN Radio.
Golden Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. The NBA is back. Tune in tonight as the defending champion Bucks host Durant and the Nets. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. And Gojo, speaking of basketball, it is getting Kendrick Perkins' jump shot ugly in Philadelphia.
Oh, no.
The 76ers announced Tuesday afternoon Ben Simmons has been suspended one game for conduct detrimental to the team, which will cause him to miss the team's season opening game in New Orleans against the Pelicans on Wednesday night. Here's Doc Rivers, 76ers head coach, in his post-practice press conference reacting to it.
Every day is a surprise. Every day. Again, this is not something that's been building or something like that. No.
So if you guys practice Thursday, I'll be back out here.
We're going to expect that, yes. I don't go through all that. That's internal stuff. That's for, like, fodder for you guys to write. Like, he stormed out. Like, I don't do all that stuff. I'll let you guys do that. Same thing. That's internal. As I said, like, that's for you guys to write about. Like, figure that one out. So, we had a great practice. So, I'll let you figure it out.
You will be welcome back to the next practice.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What was he doing that was making him stretch?
That's none of your business. That's, again, that's why practice is closed. And that's, you know, honestly. So, not being a jerk, but there's things you need to know, and then there's things you don't.
Do you feel he wants to be here now? You have a personal...
Well, today, not, obviously. We told him to go home. But hopefully at some point, yeah, I do.
For more on this, we got to bring in resident Sixers fan and SportsCenter anchor, as well as host of ESPN College Football Podcast, Kevin Negandhi. And Kevin, I got to ask you, I know you're fed up with the Ben Simmons situation, but how much more annoyed are you at what happened today in practice?
Chris Golic, I'll tell you what, Ben Simmons got what he wanted today, and that was, in the end, not addressing the media. So while he gets thrown out of practice by Doc Rivers, he ultimately didn't want to answer questions. Now, I mean, do I know that, like, from him directly? No, but, like, he has been avoiding the media since he came into Philadelphia, came back. Today was a day that they had all the cameras there ready to go right after practice. And then if you get kicked out of practice and sent home, ultimately, what do? You get the chance to leave and not face the questions, not face the cameras, not get on, any of the local channels. And in the end, I think Ben Simmons got what he wanted today. He was a disruptor, and he got the chance to avoid any of the questions that he ultimately will have to face, but today he's not going to face them.
Kev, does that win today translate into the strategy going forward, you think, for Ben Simmons?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that this plays into the strategy completely. I mean, he's back there because the checks weren't clearing, right? And that's the only reason why. He said he wasn't coming back, so he had to come back. And now, granted, the Sixers went the other way and said, all right, we're going to fine you now for missing the four preseason games, and we're going to send you home. Here's the most interesting part of this. So he gets suspended one game. That's the opener, and it's in New Orleans. The home opener is on Friday. And so it's like the Sixers are saying, all right, you don't get to come back tomorrow. We understand. We're going to leave the door open potentially of you coming back on Friday, and you've got to figure this out. Because, listen, no one, I'm telling you, no one's going to miss the idea of Ben Simmons coming to Philadelphia and being on the bench in that environment. And I don't think Ben Simmons will be there Friday night. So I expect something else to happen. I expect even an agreement. I just don't see him being there Friday because he wants to do everything he can to avoid confrontation. And clearly this is the way to do it, act out and get thrown out so you don't have to deal with it today, and then you kick the can down the curb, and then eventually we'll see if he's ever going to be able to suit up for the Sixers. If I was a betting man, I would say he will never play a game in a Sixers uniform ever.
And Kev, you're taking me exactly where I wanted to go, because we got the report from Woj earlier this week that said that Daryl Morey, their general manager, didn't want to trade Ben Simmons for role players Do you think that he has to recalibrate his expectations on what he could get back in a trade package in order to move on from Ben here shortly?
Chris, that's a great question. I will say this. I mean, hearing Joel's response today, I think eventually it's going to wear on the team of answering the same old questions day after day after day. And maybe that gets up to the front office. But I will tell you, Daryl and the Sixers are in a prime position. Let's not forget, there's 4 years left on Ben Simmons' contract. This is not like an Anthony Davis situation where he could go into free agency after this year. This is not a situation where, you know, people will say, oh, well, look what Jimmy Butler did. He acted out. Jimmy Butler at that Timberwolves practice called everybody out and then basically said, I'm going to beat all of you. Give me the worst players. I'm going to win. Ben's not that type of personality. Ben wants to avoid the conflict. So I think the Sixers are in a prime position. Daryl Morey will not be bullied into making a bad trade. We'll see, though, what kind of offers are going to come out of this. I still think that he's going to wait a couple more weeks to see how teams are playing and which team gets desperate. But there's no way Daryl and the Sixers are going to get what they wanted this summer because the value's just not there in the market.
Kev, we hope for your sake, for Cliff's sake, for everyone in Philly's sake, that this gets resolved sooner than later, man. We appreciate you calling in. Have a great show tonight, and I'm sure you guys will have plenty to talk about with this.
Absolutely. I'll make sure I'll bring up Chris's comment about Perk's jump shot when I talk to him tonight. I'll like that.
There we go. Check out Kevin Negandhi on the 6 o'clock Sports Center with Al Duncan coming up here soon. Kev, we appreciate you, man. Awesome stuff there. And like I said, hopefully for Kevin Cliff's sake, the Sixers are going to break moves away from Ben Simmons very
soon. Breaking Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
And Chris, I hear what Kevin's saying. I hear what Cliff has been saying to us off air here, our Philadelphia fans, about wanting to hold on for value here. But Kev said the quiet thing very loud there at the end. It ain't going to be what they could have got this summer. This needed to be a decision made a long time ago. You knew what the state of affairs was coming off last postseason. You knew better than any of us on the outside how this apparently was in the locker room in the way that's boiling over now, and you waited way too long. Ben Simmons is not worth this trouble right now that you've let him cause for a team with very real championship aspirations and a player that you actually can build around in Joel Embiid.
Well, yeah. I mean, Ben Simmons has said he doesn't want to be there, and you've already seen important characters in this whole drama also say that they don't necessarily want him there. I mean, Doc Rivers, after that Atlanta Hawks series loss, I mean, they asked him point blank, is Ben Simmons a point guard that you can win a championship with? And he said, I don't know. When you heard what Joel Embiid had to say, it didn't sound like an endorsement of Ben Simmons. So the reality is the guys that are in that locker room don't want him there. Ben Simmons doesn't want to be there. So if you're Daryl Morey, you know this is going to be a combustible situation. Why would you jeopardize your team having an opportunity to compete for a championship by injecting Ben Simmons, knowing that he's not going to be motivated, knowing that he's only going to serve as a distraction to what you guys are trying to build toward this season? That's the part of it that I don't understand. I don't know how Daryl Morey thought this was all going to play out, but it's starting to get ugly down there in Philadelphia to the point where they're going to have to address it in a meaningful way. They can't put lipstick on a pig with this one and continue to just try to find Ben Simmons and think that he's going to shape up. That's not how it's going down. That's not what Rich Paul is going for. And so if they don't move him soon, this is going to be disastrous for the Sixers' seasons and their prospects.
Yep, that is not how this league works. And shame on me for thinking Ben Simmons might come back motivated to be a Boy Scout to show people, all right, I got value if you want to come and get me here. He realized I can make enough noise to get out because that's how it works in the NBA where the players and that specific agent have all of this power. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. If your pet is hurt in a car accident, Progressive pays up to $1,000 in vet expenses with free pet coverage. Visit Progressive.com. Coming up next, things are bad in Philly. Things are about to get worse around the NFL. It's the bottom five from week six, next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canny and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canny coming up in about 30 seconds. We got the bottom five from the NFL weekend that was. And spoiler alert, I got to go at one of Chris's former teams. We're going to do that after this word from Wendy's. Rise or shine and dine with breakfast at Wendy's. And get yourself a sausage or bacon, egg and Swiss croissant for just $1.99. fresh cracked eggs, a buttery flaky croissant, and your choice of bacon or sausage, all for $1.99. So head to Wendy's in the AM for a breakfast worth waking up for. With a deal this delicious, the biggest question you got to face today, sausage or bacon? Decisions, decisions. Choose wisely, choose Wendy's. Limited time only, price and participation may vary. It is that time. We gave you, Chris Canty, a glowing, song-filled clip. Do we have that clip?
Just whip it, baby. Just whipple, right? Just whipple, baby. We pass it all night.
That's how good the top five sounded earlier on the show here. So, challenge accepted. I got to step up to the plate here. It's the bottom five time from the NFL Week 6.
Which teams were great?
Breaks a tackle at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown.
What player was not?
Does he hang on? Intercepted. He couldn't hang on.
This is the NFL Top 5, Bottom 5.
All right, time for the bottom five things we saw in the NFL weekend that was. Let's start off with number five.
Number five,
I got to go the Broncos. Chris, I'm going to borrow a term from you, false flagging right now. The Denver Broncos started the season a resounding 3-0 with wins over the Giants, the Jags, and the Jets. Since then, they are 0-3 with losses to the Ravens, Steelers, and Raiders. And I look at this Broncos team. Teddy Bridgewater was in and out of the lineup here, got dinged up a little bit, was brought over here because the guy they had couldn't get it done in Drew Lock. And so, Chris, I just look at this team and can't trust them at this point in time. There's not enough offense. They've lost some key pieces to injury, and the struggle has been real since they started facing real NFL football teams.
Yeah, it's different when you're playing against teams that are not the New York football teams or the Jacksonville Jaguars, and Denver is finding that out. They're seeing how the other half lives, and right now they're not a team that measures up from a talent standpoint. I like what Teddy Bridgewater has tried to do for this team in stabilizing the quarterback position, but it feels like they got a whole lot of other things going on with that team right now that they've got to find a way to be able to get fixed. Otherwise, Vic Fangio is going to be out of a job at the end of the year.
Number four,
Jared Goff's Lions, because we are going from bad to potentially worse for this team. They get handed a loss over the weekend where Dan Campbell, his head coach, comes out after and says straight up, we need more from our quarterback and Jared Goff. And now we're getting ready to start Rams week, where we've already heard from his former head coach and Sean McVay that he wishes he'd have handled some things differently in the dismount there, not speaking reportedly to his quarterback for long stretches of time before he was dealt. And Chris, I think this is ultimately going to end with Sean McVay's Rams handling Jared Goff and the Lions very easily.
Yeah, it's not looking too good for the Detroit Lions, and I feel bad because Dan Campbell wears his heart on his sleeve, and you can tell that he's emotionally invested in his team's success. And by and large, this team has been competitive in most of their games. I mean, four of their six games were competitive games. This last one, not so much. It felt like this was the first time they let go of the rope against the Bengals, and their head coach realized Jared Goff has got to do more. To date, he's got a 33 QBR. That's on a scale of 1 to 100. So it shows you that Jared Goff, his play is leaving a lot to be desired. And unless he's able to step up and do a little bit more, this Detroit Lions team is going to be in a bad way for the rest of the year. So, yeah, he needs to step up. But the only problem with that is I'm not sure that Jared Goff is capable of doing that.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the NFL bottom five from week six. Let's get to it.
Number three.
We had the Jags in the top five, so I got to go the Dolphins in the bottom five. Given the Jaguars their first win in 20 games in London after you were up in this one. And Chris, the struggle has been real along the position group that I said has been struggling for the last couple of years. I saw a stat today that the Miami Dolphins offensive line has three players in the top 10 in the NFL for pressures allowed, regardless of position. That ain't going to get it done. That's not going to let you be able to evaluate Tua, and it is probably going to put you in a position where we might see him, unfortunately, off the field again like we already have this season.
Yeah, listen, the Dolphins don't look good this year, and a lot of it has to do with roster construction. Unfortunately, that puts Brian Flores in a tough spot. But you mentioned it, the focus is going to be on Tua for the rest of the way, trying to evaluate whether or not he's the future franchise guy. He didn't play awful in the game. I thought he had a solid game, save that one bonehead mistake that led to a turnover. But it was a good game for Tua. The Dolphins just found themselves on the losing side of that ball game on Sunday.
Number two.
The bottom five. We're a little slower to go around here. Number two, we talked about injuries over the weekend for a number of teams, but maybe no one hit harder than the Cleveland Browns, who walked into their game on Sunday without their top two starting tackles, without their starting running back in Nick Chubb, and now coming off that game have Baker Mayfield aggravating further his non-throwing shoulder injury, losing their other running back in Kareem Hunt to injury, and potentially their starting linebacker and one of the rookie of the year candidates on defense in Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. Chris, it is all bad. The Browns, I think, now out of contention for the AFC elite because they are too beat up to function.
Yeah, they're beat up to function, and there's not really a whole lot of relief because you got a quick turnaround on Thursday night. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if Baker Mayfield can rally the troops, but it's not looking good for the Browns right now.
Number one's
pretty simple. It's the New York Football Giants. Like, Chris, I see for anyone watching on ESPN Plus, Chris Canty has a sweatshirt on bearing the New York Giants crest, and I can't imagine it is because he is proud of what he saw on the field this weekend. He's back celebrating a Super Bowl championship, the decade reunion, and he watches the Los Angeles Rams do things to them that the rest of us wish we had not seen.
Mike, I wanted to have a reason to be proud of wearing this sweatshirt, but the only reason I got it on today is because it's laundry day and nothing else was clean. Like, that's where I'm at with the New York Giants. Not a whole lot of good things to say about them. And quite frankly, I feel like they're in need of doing some cleaning themselves in terms of their front office and their coaching staff and, quite frankly, some of the guys that they're working with on that roster. So this is a tough position for the Giants to be in. They got to get a whole lot better in order to be in a position to be consistently competitive. But right now, they just don't have enough. And I'm sorry, I'm not buying into Joe Judge and him trying to patch the holes on the submarine. I don't think it's going to work out for him. And that's by default, because I don't think it's going to work out for the general manager either.
Nope. They've got a long three-week stretch. The Panthers, the Chiefs, and the Raiders coming up before their bye in mid-November. We will see what this organization looks like by the time we get to that point here, and if Joe Judge and Dave Gettleman are still in the building here. So that's the bottom five from the NFL Week 6 weekend that was here. The struggle is very, very real. Coming up next, though, the struggle entirely too real for the Houston Astros. Are they down and out? And what's on tap for the NLCS tonight? Next.
This is ESPN Radio.
Kenley Jansen comes set. Swing and a line drive. Off the glove of Seager and out into center field. Here comes Swanson. And the Braves win it. Rosario.
Kenny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. And right now, ESPN baseball analyst Xavier Scruggs joins us in studio, giving the straight talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. And Xavier, I know we're going to get to the championship series matchups, but first I got to ask you about my New York Yankees. Organization announced it this morning that they're bringing back Aaron Boone on a 3-year contract. And as a Yankees fan, I'm frustrated because that means more of the same from Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone. That is mediocrity once the calendar turns to October, getting into the postseason and getting bounced in the division series or the wild card game. Please help me out with this one. Tell me how this could be a positive for the franchise moving forward.
I think that the positive is the fact that you have someone that can, I think Boone can deal with those egos. I think the biggest problem was the personalities on the team. Just the guys didn't perform. You look at the offense. This was an offense that was so inconsistent most of the season. You have the guys. You have LeMahieu. You have Judge. You have Stanton. You have Urshela. He did his thing. But there were some guys that really didn't perform at a consistent level offensively, and that puts pressure on the relievers. And that was where the big problem was this year, is the relief pitching was tough. The starting pitching did okay, but it looks like a problem with Boone when he's not able to manage that bullpen as well as he can because the offense didn't perform and give those guys, it relieved the guys the pressure by getting some runs on the board. So for me, that was the biggest issue. I think he's the right personality for this club, though.
So if he's the right personality for this club, and you said this is largely an issue of guys not performing in key spots, next year's Yankees succeed if who performs better than we saw this year? Who's got to be the difference?
Yeah, I think DJ LeMahieu from the jump has to be the difference. But I think it's a situation where you got to move LeMahieu over to first base, maybe trade Voit and get what you can. Maybe trade Torres too and get what you can for a shortstop. You have to get a solid shortstop off the free agent market right now. I don't know if that's going to be homeboy from the Dodgers, Seager, or if that's going to be Story, but they need to get a bona fide shortstop. You got to get some better guys in that bullpen to help out some of those better guys like Chapman in the back end. You got to get bridge gaps to those guys. And then you got to get starting pitching. You got to at least get one bona fide guy that can relieve Garrett Cole. You have Garrett Cole, but he's your workhorse, but there's got to be a number two. All solid teams that go further in the postseason have a solid one and two.
All I'm saying is Brian Cashman said he wasn't going to sacrifice championships for a championship. 4 years later, we're still waiting on one championship. That's all I'm going to say. But, Xavier, we're going to shift the focus to the teams that are actually still playing right now, and we got to talk about the Yankees' rival, the Boston Red Sox, who are up 2-1 in their series against the Astros. They become the first team to hit three grand slams in the playoff in a postseason series. So how are the Red Sox doing this in a year where nobody really had expectations for them coming into the season?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things, and you talked about at the beginning of the season, is believing that they were good. Alex Cora from the jump was one of the guys saying, this is a good team. This is going to be a solid team. Nobody else believed it, but I think those guys in the clubhouse really started to believe on it, and guys didn't try to do too much. This is a team where you see guys know their role. You see guys in the bottom of the order trying to move guys over, trying to get them in, sacrifice, fly, whatever it takes, but then you got the big bangers in the top of the order, in the middle of the order. They know their role. Young Devers taking care of business. We know JD Martinez does his thing. And the trade acquisition of Kyle Schwarber has become so big for this Red Sox team. He just showed us last night why it's big. The patience and the power comes to play all together. And then the starting rotation has done a nice job as well.
ESPN MLB analyst Xavier Scruggs with us in studio on ESPN Radio. What does it do for a clubhouse when you've got a performance, when you've got a postseason tear like the one Kike Hernandez has been on?
Oh, man, this is absolutely ridiculous. But what it does for the team is it takes pressure off of the big-name guys like a Devers, like a JD Martinez, like a Schwarber, to know that you have some other guys stepping up to a big level right now in a Kike Hernandez. I mean, this dude is hotter than a firecracker. We've never really seen it in the postseason, the way this guy's swinging the stick. So that helps everybody else. But then it helps the pitching staff. Hey, we're going to score runs. We're going to put up runs. All we got to do as a pitching staff is stay with our approach, throw strikes, get weak contact, don't worry about striking everybody out, and we'll be okay.
Xavier, they say a playoff series doesn't start until the road team wins. Well, I mean, the Dodgers got to have some urgency about their business because they go back to Chavez regime down 0-2 to the Atlanta Braves. They got Walker Buehler on the mound. How do they get this done tonight and get off the schneid and actually get a win in the CS?
It's Walker Buehler. He has to stop the bleeding. This is a guy that's been extremely consistent all season. He's in the running for Cy Young candidates, but it's his slider and curveball that have to be in play today. We know he's got the high-velocity fastball, but the slider and the curveball, both batting averages, opponents under 200. They can't hit it. He's got to be extremely efficient with those two pitches, and he should have some success. And then you got to look to see if Trey Turner turns it around. This is a guy that led the league, the major leagues, in batting average and really hasn't done much. He's got a 200 on-base percentage right now in the postseason. He's got to be a guy that turns it around and creates havoc with his legs on the base pass.
Awesome stuff. You guys can check that out. We're taking you up to coverage in the NLCS here on ESPN Radio, starting right at 5 o'clock Eastern when we get done here on Canny and Golic Jr. The Road to the World Series goes through ESPN Radio. All that postseason action right here, presented by AutoZone on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Again, coverage of Dodgers Braves starts at 5 o'clock Eastern. Xavier, we appreciate the time today, man. Nice getting you in studio here. Hopefully we'll talk to you again soon as we keep this march toward the World Series going.
Hey, appreciate you guys having me. Keep up the good work.
Awesome stuff here. Coming up next, though, speaking of the Red Sox, all was not perfect for Alex Cora, their manager. We'll tell you the gripe he had coming off their latest beatdown after this word from 5-Hour Energy. All right, guys, did you hit the productivity wall after a big lunch? Well, let 5-Hour Energy Shots help you leap over that wall instead of crashing into it. With zero sugar and a convenient portable size, it's the perfect pick-me-up for getting stuff done. Go to 5HourEnergy.com today. Find over 15 flavors to choose from. Flavors like watermelon, tropical burst, cherry, peach mango, and more. There's a flavor for everyone. But if you're out and about, remember you can always pick up a 5-Hour Energy shot right at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. Back after this, Canty and Golic Jr., ESPN Radio.
And Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appeared via the Goodyear Hotline. And we got to give a shout-out to Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL Insider, as well as Xavier Scruggs, ESPN MLB Analyst, and our very own Kevin Negande, SportsCenter host, for all stopping through today. If you happen to miss any of it, go ahead and download the Canty and Golic Jr. podcast, rate and subscribe. You'll catch up on all the good stuff that we had for you today. But, Mike, it's about that time in our show for a segment we like to call Three and Out.
Three and Out here on Canty and Golic Jr. We're brought to you by Goodyear, making the plays that move you forward. Goodyear, more driven. There's no other place to start. Kevin Negande joined us because, like many other 76ers fans, he had to unburden his soul because of what we'd seen so far today. Ben Simmons reportedly thrown out of 76ers practice and suspended for their opener against the New Orleans Pelicans coming up tonight. Doc Rivers, the 76ers head coach, had to address what went on earlier after practice.
Every day is a surprise. Every day. Again, this is not something that's been building or something like that. No.
So if you guys practice Thursday, I'll be back out here.
Like, we're going to expect that, yes. I don't go through all that. That's internal stuff. That's for, like, fodder for you guys to write. Like, he stormed out. Like, I don't do all that stuff. I'll let you guys do that. Same thing. That's internal. As I said, like, that's for you guys to write about. Like, figure that one out. So we had a great practice. So I'll let you figure it out.
You will be welcome back to the next practice.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What was he doing that was making him stretch out?
That's none of your business. That's, again, that's why practice is closed. And that's, you know, honestly. So not being a jerk, but there's things you need to know, and then there's things you don't.
Do you feel he wants to be here now? You have a personal...
Well, today, not, obviously. We told him to go home. But hopefully at some point, yeah, I do.
Stormed out, rained out, drizzled out. I don't care what he did to get out of the building, Chris. He didn't want to be there. Doc Rivers can tell us that this has not been something that has been building, and I can choose not to believe him based on what we have seen and heard so far.
Once again, I go back to Doc Rivers saying they had a good practice. I don't know how you can characterize it as a good practice when the second best player on the team walks out of practice, or worse, gets kicked out of practice. Like, that's where Ben Simmons is at with it, and I don't know how they can put a Band-Aid on this situation. I don't think this relationship is salvageable. So if you're Daryl Morey, you have to weigh the distraction that is going to be Ben Simmons looming over this team versus what you're going to get in return in a trade. Because at this point, I think it's getting to that level where you have to consider it addition by subtraction, given how everybody in the organization feels toward Ben Simmons.
Yeah, I think everyone in any situation has always got to assess who has more to lose. Ben Simmons, certainly. The fines can start to add up financially. Philly can try and make this hurt, but Philly's got a timer going right now on their championship window. Joel Embiid, the center of all this, is a guy with a big body that gets banged up fairly often here, which means this team's got to figure out a way to win sooner than later. And if we're grading right now, it feels like they've got more to lose, and they've let this go a little further than they're going to comfortably be able to stomach from here on out. So we'll have much more on as the NBA world turns in the coming days, because this ain't going to go away. As Kevin Negande pointed out, we got the home opener coming up on Friday. Get your popcorn ready. In the meantime, the Boston Red Sox had a beatdown last night in the ALCS. But in the midst of that, we saw something that Alex Cora, their manager, wasn't exactly happy with here. Eduardo Rodriguez was on the mound, sat down Carlos Correa, and decided to let him know what time it was, mocking a celebration we had seen from Carlos Correa before. Here was Alex Cora talking about what he saw there and what he didn't like about that.
Don't do that, because we don't act that way. I mean, you know, we just show up, we play, and we move on. And he knows. I let him know. We don't have to do that. You know, if we're looking for motivation outside of
what we're trying to accomplish, we're in the wrong business. You know, the only motivation we have is to win four games against them and move on to the next round. Besides that, he was outstanding.
Chris, what is it about teams with socks hating on players for going out there and stunting? We saw this with the White Sox and Yermín Mercedes earlier this season, and now it's rearing its ugly head again. Let him be great.
Well, listen, man, when you got old school managers in terms of their overall mentality, that's where they're at with it. But, I mean, listen, if you heard what Carlos Correa had to say about it, you recognize that, yeah, that's where the sport is going or where it should be going, allowing these players to show more personality. And I get it. You don't want to show up the other guy. But some of this has to be taken under consideration when you think about baseball being an entertainment product and lagging behind the other sports leagues in that regard. So, yeah, I'm all here for Eduardo Rodriguez and Carlos Correa going back and forth. To me, it makes for good theater. It adds to the drama that's going to play out over the course of the series. And we are talking about it being the playoffs, the biggest stage that baseball has to offer. So let the kids play. We all want to see this. I don't know who this offends, but those guys that are screaming get off their lawn, they need to move around so the game of baseball can continue to grow.
You said his name, Carlos Correa, the other player at the center of this, spoke after the game and talked about how he felt about this whole situation.
He did my celebration. I thought it was kind of cool. it's just the way baseball should trend moving forward. You know, we talk about making baseball fun. We talk about baseball, you know, growing and more people coming to watch the sport. You know, you need things like that. You need to let the players have fun. And, you know, I loved it personally. I think the game should move in that direction where you can show emotions, you can be yourself, and you can keep it real.
And Chris, this is relatively going to be a drop in the bucket, right? This is in the middle of a Red Sox run that's incredible. Alex Cora and company have so much to worry about, but this is kind of the big picture you mentioned. And I brought up Yermín Mercedes because we saw an episode surrounding the unwritten rules of the game type stuff derail the middle of a young man's season and potentially his career there based on how it affected every player, and you know this, is better when you're allowed to be yourself. And I'm just glad overall this seemed to kind of be the exception, not the rule anymore in baseball about how we tolerate this stuff.
Yeah, I just think that baseball recognizes that they've got some issues in terms of trying to appeal to a younger demographic, to a younger fan, and with so much competition in the way of entertainment, like they're going to have to allow these guys to show more of their personalities in order to draw in the fans, because you got to create some storylines based on the personalities, especially over the course of a 162-game regular season where it doesn't necessarily feel like you have appointment television.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty taking you all the way up to coverage of the NLCS, Dodgers and Braves, starting at 5 o'clock Eastern on ESPN Radio here. But we got to finish up 3 and out with this one, because the NHL season also underway now. We've seen the NHL back on ESPN. And we heard a lot about from Gary Bettman, the commissioner, when he joined the guys on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Hey, there's only 4 unvaccinated players remaining in the NHL. Look how good we've done with the numbers here. Maybe not. San Jose Sharks forward Evander Kane has been suspended 21 games without pay by the NHL on Monday for a, quote, established violation of the NHL and the NHLPA's COVID-19 protocol. Sources confirmed earlier this month he was being investigated over allegations that he submitted a fake COVID-19 vaccination card to the NHL and the Sharks. While the NHL and the NHLPA don't have a vaccine mandate for the 2021-2022 season, we know vaccinated players, like in a lot of other sports, way fewer restrictions than their unvaccinated counterparts, including the ability to play games in Canada without a mandatory quarantine. But Chris, this kind of seems like a bigger thing with Evander Kane, because we know what the last year has looked like for him. He's a guy who was investigation after allegations from his ex-wife about him gambling on his own team and games within the sport, as well as being investigated into allegations of a domestic assault made by his estranged wife, Anna Kane. So all of this swirling around, it makes this suspension feel like it really doesn't have just to do with a vaccination card.
Yeah, this reminds me of when I used to spend summers with my grandma, and she used to spank me, and she said, I want to get you for the old and the new, like things that she didn't realize that I did. She was going to make up for it all in one whooping. This is what it feels like the NHL is doing to Evander Kane right now. We couldn't really get you with the domestic violence allegations. We couldn't get you with the sports gambling allegations. But we can nail you on this one. We can force you to miss a quarter of a season. And so they took the opportunity to give him that kind of discipline. Seems like a tough penalty, but that's what it is, given all the noise around Evander Kane.
Yeah, it's all bad, and it seems to be getting worse there. Coming up next, though, all good, hopefully, as the Dodgers try and get back in Game 3 of their series.